If you're older than, say, 40, you might perceive that there are more wheelchair ramps and handicap parking spots than there were decades ago. A lot of that is because 35 years ago this month, the Americans with Disabilities Act was signed into law by the first President Bush. ADA is a cause for celebration by the Oregon Disabilities Commission, the Oregon Department of Human Services, the Northwest ADA Center, and Disability Rights Oregon. All of those entities are collaborating on a webinar series to mark the 35th anniversary of ADA, starting today at 11:30 and running for the next three Tuesdays. We have two guests with us. Rodney Schroeder is the Community Services and Supports Unit Manager for the Oregon Department of Human Services in the Office of Aging and People with Disabilities. Rodney, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to be here today.
Good to have you. Andrew Caruana is with us as well, one of the dozen or so commissioners currently on the Oregon Disabilities Commission. Andrew, thank you for listening or for joining.
Yeah, good to be here.
All right, good to have you both. So, Rodney, let me start with you. Help us understand the journey before ADA. How common were barriers to access?
I would say that they were very common, and even after the ADA, there's still challenges and kind of getting into the normal process of making sure folks with disabilities have equal access and shared access to all different things. So. The reason for the ADA or legislation like that is to make sure that those rights are protected and available to everybody.
How big a difference has the law made? It sounds like it's still got some room to go here.
From my perspective, probably that may be a good question for Andrew. I know he deals in the everyday life of this more than I do, but belief and awareness is that, yeah, there's progress that needs to be made. We've made a lot of progress as a society and as a country, but there's obviously always more improvement to be made.
Let's talk about, Andrew, your personal experience. As Rodney alluded, you deal with this more in your everyday life?
Yeah. My background, just in terms of my own disability, I have cerebral palsy and a couple other things going on. So I do experience a lot of physical barriers to access in my day to day life, and then my background in terms of my advocacy is I do a lot of work with higher education and accommodations, and so I see not only in my own life physical barriers to access still, just because the ADA, despite being a pretty monumental piece of legislation, has a lot of carve outs and exceptions and it, I believe, has not been updated or revised since 2010 because, of course, with COVID, we missed out on the regular 2020 revision. So, despite being a monumental piece of legislation, there are, of course, still carve-outs and exceptions. And I think that there's a perception that the ADA in its current form does more than it does to protect. And so I would say, while it is monumental, there's still quite a bit of ways to go.
And I guess you wouldn't be presenting the webinar series of people if all the people affected by ADA were fully aware of their rights under the law.
Right.
So is there a most common example of a way people can make use of the Americans with Disabilities Act to tell people, hey, these are my rights, you need to respect them?
Well, I think the way that I see it on most regularly, and I think the way that most people sort of associate ADA is just funny enough, is parking spaces is usually, I think, how people are most commonly and subconsciously introduced to the ADA. I think in terms of things that I wish people were more aware of. I see a lot of, with higher education, I see a lot of kind of misunderstanding and misinformation around employment with the ADA. I think that sometimes there's just a lack of clarity around, around disabled people's abilities to work and what their rights and responsibilities are in the workplace. And I think a lot of times, there just isn't a ton of information around that because disabled people aren't really well represented in the workforce. And so I think employers just, on average, aren't used to navigating having disabled employees and working through that accommodations process. And so I think that there ends up being a lot of, discrimination and hardship there for disabled workers, even if it's unintentional.
We're talking about the Americans with Disabilities Act 35th anniversary here on the Jefferson Exchange with Andrew Caruana from the Oregon Disabilities Commission and Rodney Schroeder from the Oregon Department of Human Services. Those two organizations and a couple of others are offering disability rights webinars in Oregon in well, actually available everywhere, I guess, but every Tuesday in July from 11:30 to 1 p.m. starting today. If you have questions or comments for our guests, join us by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So in your thinking, Rodney, who are the people who most need to take part in these webinars?
You know, Jeffrey, I think it's great for everybody. I think it's a good education and information for individuals living with disabilities, but also the general public and other folks as well. One of the key things I would say is education goes a long way. It goes a long way to understanding the rights of others and how this legislation protects that. And, you know, as Andrew has talked a little bit about or hinted about, some of the gaps that are still there. And this education series is just that. It's a series of webinars each Tuesday to educate individuals about equitable access for education, employment rights for folks with disabilities. We've got on the third week, there's a great group of presenters coming to talk about their own experiences with it. And then the last one kind of wraps up at the end of the month around Oregon's journey and around removing barriers and implementing these laws and this legislation. So great education opportunity for everybody. I think it's a good opportunity for anybody that has interest in learning about this and learning about the different laws that support that.
Let me, by name, because that's the only one you give here, on the July 22nd seminar you just mentioned, Hannah and Shane Burkaw, who host a YouTube channel, Squirmy and Grubs, on changing perceptions about disabilities. Let's go into that a bit. Andrew, let's talk about how people's perceptions have changed over time. I mean, we used to have much harsher, shorter words for people with disabilities than calling them people with disabilities. And has the mindset changed, or just the vocabulary?
It's a tough question. I think by and large, we've seen mindset change in a lot of ways. But I think that I would imagine any marginalized group of people, there are still lots and lots and lots of ways that there are, microaggressions, and there's always, small comments and unsaid things, looks, unsaid feelings and just dynamics that are still uncomfortable, I think. And I think one of the things that Squirmy and Grubs, YouTube channel really, really focuses on is sort of the navigating the ins and outs of inter-able relationships and sort of what that's like, both from the perspective of the disabled person in a relationship and the perspective of an able-bodied person in a relationship with someone who's disabled. And, I think that, being in an inter-able relationship myself, I think I see a lot of different, biases and assumptions that folks have about people with disabilities come up, and just sort of these, really, without getting too into it, it just comes up in kind of a lot of ways you wouldn't think.
Inter-able relationships, so different levels of disability, or perhaps not just disability in one?
Yeah. Inter-able would be like if one person in a relationship has a disability and the other person does not.
Mm-hmm. Let's remind our listeners, we're talking about disability rights in Oregon, a disability rights webinar series being offered over the course of this month, starting today. So it's every Tuesday from 11:30 to 1 for four Tuesdays. And we're talking to Andrew Caruana from the Oregon Disabilities Commission and Rodney Schroeder from the Oregon Department of Human Services. And you can join us with your emails at jx@jeffnet.org. Have a question here, Rodney, from Biff in Ashland, who wants to know if there'll be an opportunity for people to watch the webinar later on if they're unable to watch them live.
I believe so. I believe, and actually, if you go to the website where the webinars are listed, there'll be information from previous years as well. We've been doing this for a number of years. This is the 10th year that the group has got together to provide information. It started out as in-person events, and then in 2020 it moved to webinars, and they will be recorded and they'll be available on the website afterwards. So those that aren't able to and have an interest, you'd be able to go get them off of the website. Previous ones are on there as well. or if you want to just refresh, if you liked a certain part of it and want to refresh your mind, you can jump back into that website and the ones will be recorded.
Andrew, can we dig a little further into what you said earlier about barriers in employment? And it sounds like people might have open minds, but still some hesitation about hiring people with disabilities. Is that what you're finding?
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot of research to show even with even with equal opportunity employers, you know, there's still a lot of unconscious bias that goes into that goes into hiring practices. And I think that just research shows that, like, particularly if people are going in for an in-person interview, if a person goes in and they're in a wheelchair, they're much less likely to get hired for a job than a person who doesn't use one, even if the job doesn't require a ton of, like, physical labor. And so things like that happen a lot that make it quite hard for folks with disabilities to get into the door. And then, of course, there's also just, legislatively, there's some challenges as well for folks with disabilities who need to rely on certain health services. It can make it can create some barriers to employment as well, which is one of the webinars that I'm a panelist on is talking about the Employed Persons with a Disability Program and how that creates pathways to employment. But yeah, I think most of the barriers come, I think, from the initial hiring process and just fairly often being passed up for positions, and then also in dealing with, human resources and getting accommodations. You're not always going to be working with someone who's super knowledgeable about disabilities and accommodations in the workplace. And so it creates kind of this dynamic where, as the disabled person, you have to sort of explain yourself and then re-explain yourself kind of continuously. And it really puts the onus a lot more on the disabled person to get the supports that they need instead of just kind of having those built in place already.
Have you seen some eyes open over the years, though? People who thought, well, I took a risk on you, or so I thought it was a risk, and then it turned out to be great, and it wasn't nearly as hard as I thought. I mean, have you heard stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I work with a lot of folks who are disabled and in the workplace, and I mean, genuinely, they're some of the most brilliant minds I've ever met, I've ever talked to. And I've heard the sentiment expressed by employers that as people with disabilities, because we see the world in such a different way, we look at problems differently. We look at building design differently, website design differently. There's an entirely different way of thinking when you have a disability. And so I think it's absolutely essential for workplaces to have people with disabilities, because we just catch things that most people miss.
Rodney Schroeder, I have to ask if the gains under ADA are under a bit of a threat. I mean, there's so much coming out of Washington since the change in presidents is about turning discrimination back on the people who have claimed it historically. Anything like that aimed at protections for people with disabilities?
Some of the federal changes and stuff, we're still analyzing things and looking at how any of those changes could affect Oregon and citizens within Oregon and preparing information for Governor Kotek. It's important to make sure people understand that services and benefits from ODHS aren't changing at this particular time for anything in the federal budget. Services and benefits will continue as they have been. And if things change in the future, we'll be in touch through our normal regular procedures about any of those changes at this time.
Andrew Carr, I want about half a minute to talk about what the other shoe might be. I mean, if there's a follow-up to ADA, what would you like to see in it?
I mean, I think, if I could have my way, get everything I wanted, I'd like to see a lot of the historical landmark exemption laws reevaluated, because I think a lot of times buildings get to hide behind that get updated.
We can't change the building because it's historical. Yeah, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate the time from both of you. Andrew Caruana is one of the commissioners in the Oregon Disabilities Commission. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You bet. Rodney Schroeder is with the Office of Aging and People with Disabilities in the Oregon Department of Human Services, where he's the Community Services and Supports Unit Manager. Thank you, Rodney.
You're welcome. I appreciate you covering this topic.